World's on fire. Our culture's disintegrating.
Hey, pass the salt.
It's time. Hey, you, pass the salt.
You know why it's disintegrating? Because we're jellyfish.
Pass the salt, will you?
Pass the salt.
Pass the salt, amigo.
It's time.
I think they could give us a new name. I believe we are Evan Jellyfish.
Hey, will you pass the salt?
Pass the salt.
We need salt over here.
It's time for Pass the Salt.
Pass the salt.
But we like to share the gospel without any backbone to it, see?
The views, opinions, and seemingly outrageous comments expressed on this program are based on the Holy Spirit leading of a man called Coach.
I gotta ask you this out there, Christian America.
It's time for Pass the Salt with a Coach, Dave Dobenmeyer.
Well, friends, good morning. As you can see, Coach is not here today. He's called and asked me to fill in. My name's Chad. I head up the Texas Salt and Light Brigade, a branch of this. And it's an exciting day, exciting opportunity. I never have hosted a show before, per se. So being the diligent guy that I am, I told my wife, I said, hey, look, I'm not sleeping here tonight. I said, I'm going to go to the first Holiday Inn Express, and that should give me all of the background I need in order to be able to host the show. So I'm fully equipped. I want you to know that. Had a couple cups of coffee. I'm wound up tighter than a clock spring. So we're ready to rock and roll today. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. One of the things, too, I want to remind us of, Craig reminded me of earlier, that today is the National Night Out. Okay, so your police and all this things, look, let's remember to lift them up. We never like the police until we need something. It's kind of like a lawyer, you know? All right. A few other things I want to talk about on the business here. I want to continue on with yesterday's show, if you will, friends. Operation 31. Where we are going out and staking our the properties and places across the nation that we deem we need to drop it out of. So I would like for you to come in here. I want to hear some more testimonies of this, that the things that are going on out there, things you've encountered throughout your staking process. All right. So we're asking for at least one staking objective per day for 31 days, and then you write any scripture on your rock or whatever you're using out there, and then on the back, the other side of the rock, what I'm doing is I'm putting one piece of scripture on one side, and then the flip side of it, I'm putting the proverb for the day, 1 through 31 for the week. Thus is why it is Operation 31. And so with that in mind, one of the things that I hit a few churches myself this last weekend with the staking, doing that and going in there. And I can remember sitting there and like in my truck, and I'm like, I wonder if they have cameras. Are they watching me? Are they going to come out here? And you have all these thoughts, excuse me, all these thoughts kind of go through your head. And it's just a slight deterrence for you to go in there and do this. And I said, you know what? I hope they are watching me on camera. What am I doing wrong? So I said my prayers on it, grabbed my rock, and went out there and found the strategic place to place it and placed it, and got back in the truck and drove off. And I want you to know that I felt very accomplished. I said, man, I felt kind of proud of myself doing those things. And thank you for pulling that up. Mel, I want you to come in here a little bit and talk about a little bit of this, if you would. And, I'm glad you got the website pulled up. All right, Mel, come on in.
Yeah. Good morning, Chad. Hey, it's good to see you in the driver's seat there. So good morning. Well, yeah. So, Operation 31 is an idea that Coach came up with, and we fully support it. So we're supporting it at the LibertyActionNetwork.com. And the idea is to, you know, gather a stone, one for each day of the month, pray over the stones. And then for each day of the month, you know, drop a stone in a location. You can do this by yourself, or you can, this is a great way to like bring people into actually being doers, is to invite somebody to come along with you, buy them a cup of coffee, buy them lunch. But actually I brought my kind of prodigal son with me, you know, and it was great. It was edifying for both of us. And I think it's kind of helped to draw him back. But anyway, back to the action. So, you know, every time you put a stone down, you're claiming that location for God's kingdom. And so, you know, it is God's kingdom. And we, you know, the Bible says everywhere we put our feet, you know, that, you know, we just have to remember that it's the kingdom. So this is what this action is, you know, pray the Holy Spirit to lead you, kind of start with your own home, work out from there, you know, take your Bible, pray over the stones, write Bible verses like Chad was saying. And, you know, we're kind of, you know, if you want to do one proverb for each day. So it's really, you know, it's a great action. You can kind of make it your own, but it's been great. And I see a lot of people posting pictures of where they're going to. And so I hope that you'll all join us. It is a great action to begin with. And then as we draw more people in, we can do even greater action. So thanks, Chad.
Well, you bet, Mel. Thank you for what you do. Look, ladies and gentlemen, there's so much going on in our world. There's so many things just in the United States, but in the world as a whole. There's so many things that are happening. And what our tendency is as people is we need that dopamine fix. We're looking for the next headline, the next information, the next thing to drop. What's Trump going to say? What's they going to do? What's Putin going to come? What's are they saying on X? Oh, Elon and them are arguing. The thing is, look, we have an opportunity here. Just as the people of Nineveh, they were brought a warning and they humbled themselves and they prayed and they did the things and the Lord held off judgment for over 100 years. Now, I don't know about you, but I won't be around another 100 years, but some of the people that are in my life will be. And their people will be. And we always say, you know, as parents, those of you that are parents out there, I always hear this to say, well, I want them to have it better than I did. Well, if that's true, now is an opportunity, at least with this. If we won't go out in a non-confrontational style, you're not going to meet any resistance out there with this, with the rock placing. If we won't do that, we deserve everything we get. If we're not even willing to stand in the gap when there's absolutely zero confrontation, what are the odds we're going to, when they come with the Gestapo and come against us? Friends, I'm asking you, I'm pleading with you, I'm challenging you. I don't know what other acronym, adjective to say, is that, or adverb, whatever it was, which one is it? Anyway, to try to motivate this to your heart and say how important it is that we're going out there. And it may not necessarily change world events, but it might change you. Just like going to the abortion mill is not about wins. It's about you going out there and proclaiming God's word and being an advocate for the living. That's what it's about. If we expect wins and stuff, the Lord's one that's winning. The Lord's winning. We are on his team. He's not with us. We're with him. We're with him. Hallelujah. So if you would, okay, however many imprecatory psalms there are, if we pull up the imprecatory psalms and we count on these, I think there's like 21, 26, 20, something like that. If you would, for the remainder of the month, however many are there, okay, how many are there? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, 19, 20. Okay, 20. So starting on August 11th, friends, I want to encourage us to write on every rock we place one of these imprecatory psalms. What exactly are imprecatory psalms? but I thought you'd never ask. Well, Wikipedia has it designed here that, defined here, imprecatory psalms contained within the book of Psalms of the Hebrew Bible are those that imprecate, invoke judgment, calamity, or curses upon one's enemies. Is it really our enemy or the Lord's enemy? Or those perceived as the enemies of God? Major imprecatory psalms include 69 and 109. Also, what's not listed on there is 92. You know that one? That's one we quote that one a lot. Thanks for pulling that up, Spence. And we place those on there because the whole purpose, we're not, as Coach talked about it the other day, what plays are we running? We're playing prevent defense. And so I don't know about you, but if you were to ever be involved in some type of altercation, it's throwing punches that wins the fight, not standing there weaving and blocking. It's throwing punches. And this is what this does. This calls upon and asks for the Lord to step in and intervene on our behalf. That's awfully humbling because so many times we think we try to take matters in our own hand. We pray that the Lord will bless what we're doing rather than us going to the Lord and say, what do you want us to do? Because if the Lord has assigned you something, that's basically he's dropped this Operation 31 in my heart as passionately as I felt anything for a while. If he's dropped that in my heart, then I know he'll bless me and guide my way. I know he will. Because why? Because I said, Lord, I'll do that. Thank you, yes, sir. Yes, sir. I'm on my way, en route. And I get in my truck and I say, where do you want me to go? Exactly like that. And then I'll drive and I go, oh, or I'll be out and they say, hey, tomorrow, go by there and stop and get that place. Tomorrow, here's another place you might want to go, or whatever. He does these, gives these suggestions to us, friends. If we're not going with the Lord with this, then what are we doing? The objective is to let the Lord know how sorry we are, how obedient we are, and how glorious he is. If we're not doing that, then we're just kind of a stick in the mud. Let's see. All right. One thing, this is a little bit old news here. Has anybody got anything on that? Forgive me. I sure would like to hear some of the testimonies of y'all going out there and staking and, you know, some of the things that we talked about yesterday. I know that there's so many of y'all that are doing it. And you shared some of that yesterday. But I thought we continued to build on that as well today. Because it's important, friends, that we know that strengthen from one another and our actions. That's why testimonies are so powerful. But the thing is also, I want to encourage you, is don't be afraid to go out there by yourself. Because if you are going out there and you feel more comfortable with a herd of people, then you're not really going out there with the confidence of Lord behind you. You're going out there with numbers confidence. And if we really think, we really believe we're in the end times now, and we can't stand alone in the wilderness relying on the Lord now in relative peacetime, how are we going to really do it when it comes to crunch time? Because as they come and get you information, I don't know how it's going to go. I really don't. But I perceive in my mind as a military guy, they'll have people standing here and it'll be a one-on-one thing. And they say, do you accept or deny Christ? And then they got the guillotine right over here to your left and people are lined up and they're cutting heads off, intimidating people to say, I deny Christ. I don't know if that's how it's going to go. It'll probably be more subtle than that, but you get the gist of what we're saying. Okay, nobody has a testimony? Nobody wants to share anything? Okay, fair enough. Fair enough. One thing I did want to talk about, the DOJ, this story is a little bit old on it, and one of the things that we keep watching and waiting for the DOJ to make some arrests on Epstein on these lists. They're going to release it any day now, any day now. We've kind of had this carrot in front of the donkey dangled in front of us all this time, all these years, that at some point, I mean, folks, it's been well over, let's see, 8 years, 6 years, we've been hearing about this. And still, nothing. But just to show you that the DOJ can arrest people, they arrested one man. See how quick that went? He made a post, and they went and arrested him. So they can do it. They have the ability to do it. So if they're not doing it, what does that say? Pull up those stats on the amount of arrests that's happened. There you go. Number of arrests, right here. Here it is. We got our DOJ is hard at work, friends. Doesn't matter what administration gets in there. Okay, this is what hit me last night. We're only changing in elections. We're only changing the middle management. We're never changing upper management. What company changes if they only change middle management? The answer is none. Because why? You look at Russian collusion hoax, which that's been proved, I don't know how many times, zero arrests. January 6th, any of the people that lied about the people up there that attended that event, zero arrests. Not one person's been arrested for the Mar-a-Lago raid. Not one person's been arrested for the Biden auto pin conspiracy. The 2020 election. We have, how much more evidence do you need to know that they altered the vote? How about COVID? All the fake shots, killing people, Benghazi, Doge. Doge only revealed where the money went. It didn't reveal or take any action on anybody doing it wrong. We see this? They're not taking action. And it's not because we're waiting for enough evidence. We're not. Do you see how long they waited to snap on that other guy? They took zero time. As soon as he put a post in on a social media app, and they went over there and got him. Well, we got stuff 2-3 inches thick full of documents, but it's not enough. And then we're not going to send any more money to Ukraine until next time. And this thing, I'm saying, quit putting our faith in what these elected people say or do. Because they're middle management. Mel, come on in. Thank you.
Yeah, I mean, this stuff frustrates me so much. I mean, do we really think that government is going to reform government? I mean, it's just, you know, and so I just, it makes me crazy. All the Hegelian dialectics where, you know, these, you know, they're herding us into their solutions. So I just pray that everybody will have discernment about this. It's one team that they're on. It's two wings, same bird. We have to understand, you know, like just in the Bug's Life movie, when the grasshopper says, hey, you know, we have to keep these ants in control because, you know, they're the ones really that have the power. And so we need to really, you know, all these barriers that are put up between all of these different groups, they're creating these situations where we're opposing everybody, you know, Republicans against Democrats, you know, it's, you know, blacks against whites, rich against poor. So I think that really the people have a lot more in common than we think. And so we just have to try to see through this charade that they're leading us all through. That's all.
Absolutely. Absolutely. It was making me think of the song that happened back in the day. It's a country western song for those of you who don't. It says, I'm for love and I'm for happiness. And I'm for, if you don't like it, can't you just let it pass? And I'm for turning off the tube and turning down the lights. And I'm for nothing else. But it has the cops against the robbers. The cops are against the wall. It's a bunch of lyrics in there. They really kind of make sense. And how long have they been playing A against B and C versus A? How long? And we continue to fall for it over and over and over. That's why they keep using it. That's why they keep using it. If you'll see, years ago, I did a study and then made a video on it. It's basically like the Price is Right wheel. You see that Price is Right wheel where it goes, has one through $1 through 1 cent. But on that, instead of that, it has all the things that they could possibly stir up the people for. Okay, we have race problems, we have police problems, we have border issue, we have financial thing, we have war, we put it on there. Okay, we have gay rights, okay, we have these some kind of injustice that's occurring in the world, you know, these things, that, and they keep spinning this wheel, and they're trying to draw us out, and then meanwhile, we're all sitting here talking about, well, was it this or was it that, and like, no, it's not this, and then we see, it's busy work. It's busy work. Meanwhile, they're laughing and moving around on a flanking maneuver on the backside. We see this allegedly big, beautiful bill that comes in. You see, it's kind of like the Patriot Act. It's kind of like that, where we talk about making it sound like a cool name or a wonderful name, but it's nothing but misery behind it. The National Defense Authorization Act that was done, I think it was at New Year's Eve 1 year, 2017, 18, somewhere like that, under Obama administration. Okay, it authorizes 30,000 drones to fly over the United States and monitor U.S. citizens. Contrary to what you may think. Oh, Jack, sorry, buddy. Come on in.
Yeah, so. To answer your question, the reason why nothing happens at the top is because we expect the top to be in charge, and we don't practice it at the local level. We're waiting for our overlords to fix themselves, yep. And it's not going to happen. And it happens because we're not knowledgeable. Because, okay, I don't want to diminish studying the word, but if you study the word, like Paul knew the word, but he also knew the Roman law. He also knew the Jewish law. But we've got this idea that all we have to do is study the scripture, and everything's going to work out okay. If we pray enough and put enough stakes down, everything's going to be okay. But for instance, in Maine, during COVID, at the beginning of COVID, we actually wrote legitimate articles of impeachment because she broke the law. She violated the law. Article 1 or Title 37B, Section 741 of Maine law gives the authorization for the governor, what it takes, the trigger for the governor to assume emergency powers. And we didn't meet that threshold, but nobody wanted to challenge her on it. The other party wouldn't challenge her on it. Oh, well, you can't get involved. See, we don't take it at the local level because we've been taught that impeachment is only for high crimes, intense crimes. No, it's for crimes by people in high places. The threat and follow through on impeachment should be common, should be normal. This is how you deal with anyone elected, hired, or appointed to any government position. They can all be impeached, and we should follow that, but we don't know how to do it. I've been doing this a long time, and I had it totally wrong for years, but we need to learn that the Hosea 4:6 thing is why we fail, because I only eat steak. Okay, well, so you don't eat macaroni? Nope, just steak. So, okay, so then you don't know what macaroni tastes like. You don't know what it does. Is it good for you, bad for you? We get so anally focused that we can't be any really functional. So it's got to be the local level. Find out what's going on in your town or your county and act on it. Hold them accountable. We don't go to county commissioner meetings. Nobody even knows where they meet. County commissioner is about one of the most obscure positions you can have, but it's got a lot of pull, a lot of power, and a lot of stuff comes out of your pocket to go to the county commissioner's agenda.
Well, so, Jack, the thing too, why there's inaction at the local level is because just like the local level is just like the county level is just like the state level is just like the federal government level. They're all broke, running in the red. And if they don't bend a knee and take grants that they don't necessarily believe in, but it's a lot of money, and they can still operate for another time. See, rather than cutting back on programs, they'll take this grant money, they'll sell their soul, and they'll wash us down the tank. And understand that it all comes down to that. It all comes down to the mighty dollar.
Or also your mailbox. Case,
not so. Yeah, that's right. And we have to see. Understand. Go ahead.
The guy down the street, I know him. And so it's hard to confront people in your local community. That's why we all kind of shifted off to the next higher level, because the guy that's over here engaging in something that's not quite right, it also, he goes to my church, or he goes to my men's group, or he's on the basketball team. And so we don't confront, because we hate these kind of confrontations. But if we don't do it, we're just going to continue. There's got to be a line in the sand, and it's individual, it's personal for each of us.
Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you for that, Jack. Mel, you got something?
Yeah, you know, I think that we need a new lens to look at all this through, because, you know, the government provides us a lens, and I think that we've all been trained to kind of see the world through their lens, you know, scarcity of resources and all these lies that we get fed all the time. So I think our challenge really is to create a new lens, because it's really powerful the way that we think about things. So the challenge really is to create that lens or that plan that, you know, it could be simple, but, you know, simple isn't always easy. So we have to figure out what that is. And that's all I have right now.
All right. Yeah. Well,
hand up, Jack. I do not have a hand in here. So do you mind if I say anything?
Yeah, right.
I just want to say that, you know, with the Epstein's files and these people not getting arrested, I think there's dirt on more people than we can think of. And I think a lot of people would be shocked.
Sure. Well, they say if it really released the list, that it would affect governments all across the world. And I'm like, that's the idea. So we shouldn't do anything, because the government would get shut down. Come on, man. Come on. You know, it's not going to, you know, prove it. All right. That's what I'm saying. The thing is, understand there, what I'm trying to get at, my ultimate point is, we should not expect real justice, nor should we wait for real justice, be trying to plan, say, soon, and keep giving them this, the moving the goalposts and giving them more time. And, well, look, when we see already they can move fast on things that they want to move on. And if they're not moving on it, then they're not going to move on it.
Chad, it's the squirrel. Yeah. Why is everybody looking at the Epstein files? The files are just files. That's just data, information. The real thing we should be looking at is the evidence and proof and conclusion to a trial where that woman was convicted of trafficking children to nobody. Wait a minute. That is a file, a legitimate set of evidence and proofs that she committed an insane, heinous crime. But yeah, we're not looking at that, and it's there in the record. Not guesswork, not just somebody's information gathering. It's court record. Hello, why isn't that what we should be making them force them out there? One of these lawyers should be able to get their hands on that, and then we got them. She's trafficked children to somebody. It wasn't to some ghost. What the heck is the matter with us?
Jack, again, all right, look, again, come out from the weeds. I'm telling you, friends, that they have the information. They're not going to arrest them. Why? Because they're protected. Because they're carrying the water for the deep state, who is working for who? Who does the deep state work for? In my opinion, they work for Satan. You know, the other day we were talking about, I shared a story about Russ Dizdar met Gene Simmons at a restaurant. Wanted to buy him his lunch, buy the meal. And while he was there, you know, Russ Dizdar was a pretty tall guy, pretty burly guy. And so is Gene Simmons. And as the story goes, Russ was a big fan of Kiss back in the day. And so when he saw Gene, that's when he was compelled to go over to him. So he went over to him and he said, "Hey, I'm a big fan of y'all. I'd like to, if it's all right, I'd like to buy your meal for you and give you my book." And so Gene looked at the book and he says, "I understand," which was about the Lord. And he said, "I understand the Father and the Son, but what I don't understand is the Holy Ghost." And Russ looked at him and he says, "The Holy Ghost is right here in your heart. That's where the Holy Ghost is." You understand that Paul Stanley and Gene Simmons were both raised Jewish? The KISS, the band KISS, it stands for Knights in Satan's Service. Don't think that because Lucifer, who was the choir director and the music director in heaven, when he came down, when he descended, was thrown down like a lightning bolt, Jesus said. In fact, Jesus said when he was tempted there on the mountain, or he was trying to be tempted at the mountain, "I saw you fall from heaven like a lightning rod." Understand that that when Lucifer fell, he didn't change his ways. He's still very persuasive, and he's into music and entertainment. And what do we see every day? Why? Because the sex, the sexual things are the easiest thing to get into people. But they're also the hardest to get out of people. We see these things. We see this. And so, you know, we say that the great thing that America's doing, and look, I was in the military. I love our country. Okay, I love the idea of our country. Let me put it that way. I love the idea of the country, that we're free, that we're able to do these things, blah, blah, blah. Okay, but are we really free, or is there a perception of freedom? Because frankly, I'm going to tell you, we don't really know what freedom looks like. And here's another thing that kind of hit me, that we had the Revolutionary War, right, where we fought Britain for our so-called independence. See what I'm saying? And then, years later, they became our biggest ally. Can you name another country that's got its independence from that country and then became allies with them? It's crazy. It's to think that we really came out from underneath them. All of their rock stars and stuff start there. The Beatles, not all of them. Okay? But many of these big time stuff, Led Zeppelin, many of these were English men, English groups, and came over to the United States. Why? Why here? Why is here the biggest purveyor of entertainment in the world? Why here? Some might argue that America may be Satan's chosen land, chosen people. There's been, in our history of this country, friends, we have been at war 95% of the time, somewhere in the world, from our beginning to now. And scripture says, all who love death hate Christ. So it says, if we're going out here, and what are we doing? The Wesley Clark, see, Wesley Clark, General Clark, back in the day, you remember this? We're going to take over 7 countries in 5 years. And we were utilizing the military for regime change and to acquire resources. See, when Saddam Hussein said, now he was put in power, much like Manuel Noriega down in Panama, if you remember that, and was removed when he went his own way. And then you had Saddam Hussein who said, hey, I am going to trade the oil. I'm going to go away from the petrodollar, and I'm going to move my oil. I'm going to start selling it in euros. Now, he learned some from Gaddafi, who was removed in Libya, or later in Libya. Wait a minute. Back up. Iraq happened first, then Libya. So then Libya, Gaddafi learned from Saddam. He said, okay, we're going to trade our oil and go back to Nari. And what happened to both of those men? They were removed. And then we look at the president of Venezuela. He says, we're going to trade ours, blah, 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 in gold, whatever. He changed. And guess what? They said, hey, are you sure you want to do that? And what happened to him? He was removed. And we can see that the powers to be, they're moving these resources around, okay, and using military might.
Use the word, Chad. They weren't removed. They were executed.
So we understand, friends, that there's a lot at stake here. And when we're out here laying it down every day, trying to make ends meet, know that really, secretly, there's other things going on. Oh, Rashile, come on in. You're on the air.
Good morning, team. Hi, Chad. You're doing great. I just wanted to add a little bit. What the United States has gone through, what is the secret plan for America? You know, in 1871, the U.S. was going through a lot of turmoil. We were bankrupt after the Civil War, and the bankers, which, you know, included the Rothschild family, were ready to make a deal with Congress and remedy all the problems. And these bankers took this tremendous amount of credit, and then, not for several reasons. One was a way to fight Lincoln's greenback after he was killed, which some think that is part of the motivation for the assassination, his push to privatize the monetary system. And then another reason why bankers made so much credit available was to collect interest from, you know, from those desperately in need of the money, which would be the United States government at the time. So usury and debt as practiced, as Mystery Babylon has come back, not much has really changed since Mystery Babylon, not the usury, not the debt slavery, not the symbolism even. So anyway, back to the Act of 1817, which was passed by Congress, which allowed for government this 10-mile piece of land, what we call the District of Columbia. So now you've got Washington, D.C. as a corporation outside of the Constitution of the United States. So what does this really have to do with the United States Constitution? Nothing. It's totally separate from the rest of the United States. And why does it need to be separate? Because you've got this Act of 1871 changing our country's founding fathers' original wording and the capitalization of the Constitution from Constitution for the United States for America to all capitals, the Constitution of the United States of America. And this phrasing and capitalization, they say, means nothing to the average person, but to those who make the change, it's a huge deal in the realm of legislation. So these minor changes was a clever marketing way to for this act to unify the territory of D.C. Anyway, long story short, we now have this monster right in the middle of our country who's able to pull strings, leverage money, and now once they're in bed with all the corporations, so the government doesn't directly have to tell us what to do, it gets the corporations to tell us what to do. And we're in this quagmire now. Who do we fight? Where's the beast? It's everywhere.
Amen, Rochelle. And that's the thing, too. See, the government is not intruding on your rights. It's merely going to Google and saying, hey, Google, give us the information that you have. And they go, okay, no problem. That's why your agreement on there, when you upgrade your phone or whatever, it's 81 pages. Now, I've tried to read it. It's crazy because that's what the kind. And then, okay, you don't agree. Well, then your livelihood, your phone or whatever, you can't use it. So understand, it's not the Lord's system. This is why we talked about yesterday, the omnipresence of God. He is there. He's in us, the air we breathe, all around us, in our minds, hearts, body, and soul. He's in there. And Satan does not have that ability, friends. He doesn't have that ability. What he has the ability, so what he does is he has an artificial omnipresence that he created, and that's called the World Wide Web. That's called your iOS operating system, your Droid system, where it's always, there's not some lady on there like the old operator with her glasses down low, and, you know, she's got her hair up in a bun or whatever. She's collected, pushing around things like the old-time operator and monitoring your calls. This is why, and you go to any like auto parts store, you go anywhere, and they said, hey, would you want to, you want your rewards? You want to be on our rewards program? Well, the moment you say yes, they share your data. And understand this. You and I are giving away our data. Did you know that when you go to the airport to fly now, not that real ID and all this other stuff. You had to fingerprint, do a retina scan, a stool sample in some places, if you will. You go in there now, and they take your picture, and they do at the when you walk in the gate. All right, when you go to check in at what's it called, TSA. But did you know that you can merely say, "I don't want my picture taken." And this is what I want to challenge you to not be such a compliant rule follower of the government. Because some of the things they're asking you to do are voluntary, but you don't know that. And you don't inquire about it. The real ID was supposed to be the thing on banking was supposed to also knock down the, what we heard, the cartels are moving the money and stuff like that. We don't see it. We're being manipulated to move down to all of the tracking system. What is going on in China is what the plan is for the world. They have everyone on a credit score. If you get out of line, you put a post, they drop your money down in your account. They have complete account. They'll fine you or whatever. Gene, come on in. Thank you.
Yes, we have to question, what is a U.S. citizen? None of us are U.S. citizens. When you stop, come down to it, because Washington, D.C. took over the corporation government, and they're not even in the United States. We have, whenever you go apply for a job, what's one of the questions? Are you a U.S. citizen? Oh, yeah, we marked that right away. No, we are not a U.S. citizen. A U.S. citizen is bound by Washington, D.C., who has taken over the corporation.
Amen, Gene. Also, if you didn't know this, look, I believe that we have here at Pass the Salt, and those of you that listen on this or on these other places tapping into it, I believe that we do have a very intelligent audience, and y'all do a lot of legwork and background in investigations and stuff. You've got networks, you go on a lot of these different other platforms and shows, and you're not uninformed. You're not uninformed. The problem is, what are we doing? And this is what this whole purpose of this ministry is, besides exalting the Lord and letting him know that we love him, is to put people in action with that knowledge. What good is it that you're the world's greatest mechanic, but never turned a wrench on a car? With the world's greatest engineer, but never built a bridge? So, this here is an opportunity for us, friends. This ministry offers this, that we also have several other ministries throughout this country, Wisconsin, and so on and so forth, Oklahoma, blah, blah, blah. Okay, anyway, the thing is, these people, they operate, and they're actively doing things and engaging things. This is what I'm talking about with this Operation 31, that this is a opportunity for us, friends, to regain the initiative. You want to win? You want to win? We've got to get out and put feet on the ground. Well, another thing I was going to show, Rashida, come on in one more time.
Sorry, Chad, you didn't have to stop. I was just going to wrap up my thought because I did have a bow on this, because we are questioning why aren't lists getting released? Why aren't people going to jail? And what I was pointing at was that, you know, how on earth was Congress able to pass this separate constitution and incorporate the United States? I mean, I have no idea how they did that, but they did. But the reason they did that, because a corporation as a legal separate entity from its owners, that means one of the main legal benefits of this corporate structure is that a corporation protects its owners from personal liability for corporate debts and obligations. So maybe there is a legal loophole for why nobody's going to jail. Just saying. Thanks, Chad.
Amen. Amen. Another thing I just want to touch up a little bit. I want to redirect this back over here. No, this is all fine and dandy. It's all good. Is that when we talked about yesterday, Joshua 1:3. Jared, if you'll, or Spence, pull that up. And also, I want to say that the technical team that we have here at Pass the Salt, I'm going to tell you how great these guys are. They're very efficient with their operation. And Joshua 1:3, I don't have it there. If you put it up on a Bible Gateway or whatever, Joshua 1:3, please. All right, Joshua 1:3. Every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that I have given unto you, as I said, okay? So what I did when I'm out staking, hope you can see this, is I wrote that on my shoes. I don't know if you can see that. There it is. I wrote that on my shoe. So now that I'm everywhere that I'm walking, I'm laying it down because I want the Lord to know, look, I want to be a vessel for you, Lord. I don't want to run my own agenda. Let me not run my own agenda, because if I'm running my own agenda, friends, I'm running my flesh. I say, Lord, utilize me. Utilize me.
Amen.
And if you want to be used, you must submit. And you must be willing to listen. And he says, go over there to that place and you say, I have no experience or anything like that. I don't know how. I didn't mean to make it sound like a woman's voice. I don't have any experience in that. Or, you know, I don't know if I can do that or whatever. That's exactly why he's being sent there. That's exactly why she's being sent there. Because who the Lord uses, it's for his own glory. It's not for theirs. And if you're already an excellent writer, chances are he's not going to ask you to write something. Why? Because the glory will not go to him. It'll go to you. If we look at If we look at Samson, every movie that I've seen, he's some big burly guy. I just don't believe that's the case. Because if he's a big burly guy, they would never question where he got his strength. The least of us is the greatest of us. And because you don't have a network of things, you're perfect. Moses, ladies and gentlemen, who is a great leader in my estimation, still a flawed man, though, still flesh, had a speech impediment, yet the Lord put him out front to lead and to speak to the people. Did he say, Lord, Lord, should use my brother Aaron, who is a much more eloquent speaker? Absolutely he did. He tried to get out of it. The Lord said, no, I want to use you. Because they knew if Moses, the people that knew Moses, if Moses can speak eloquently, they say, there's no way that's from him. You understand? If you're a flawed person like I am, then the Lord wants to utilize you. You are fit for service for the Lord. This is what we need to understand this. Quit operating off your strengths because you're operating off your own flesh, your own ego, your own agenda, and rather focus in on what you're weak at. If you could think of your life, your knowledge skill as a pizza, and as the years go by, you're adding or taking away slices, however you want to look at it, but you're adding slices into that pizza like Trivial Pursuit. You're adding the pies in there as you go, as you acquire knowledge or objectives. You're adding pieces into your life. And some of us are just satisfied with having two or three pieces in there. Wouldn't you want to be a well-developed Christian? Wouldn't you want to be a well-developed follower of Christ? Don't we want to be this? I mean, we like the idea of it, but it won't come without a cost. Some of your family members won't talk to you. Well, are they not talking to you because of your approach or because of your information? And one thing is, I don't care how great of a product you have, ladies and gentlemen, if your delivery driver is doing donuts in their yard when he shows up in the morning or that delivers your pizza and he's doing donuts in your yard and tears up all your roses or whatever, I don't care how good that pizza is, you're never going to order from there again. Our problem is not our message. Our problem is our delivery and sometimes our lack thereof to deliver it. Here we have with Operation 31 an opportunity to deliver this thing in such a manner that is can create no adversarial presence. It's you, a rock, and walking up there and setting it down and saying what's on the rock and proclaiming that ground for the Lord. It's really just that simple. Let's not overcomplicate it. Mary Beth, come on in. You're on the air.
So, Chad, the Holy Spirit just gave me just a glimpse of an understanding of what you're trying to say in a way. It's just a glimpse because, like, was it Paul that had the thorn in the flesh? You know, and why did the Lord not choose not to take that away? Well, maybe it was because whatever. Maybe Paul... I don't know, but maybe that was a way of glorifying God. I don't know. I just saw some new, had a little glimpse of understanding by what you were saying. So That was good.
Amen, Mary Beth. Thank you. Friends, I'm just telling you that this thing is on me like white on rice. I'm just saying it's falling down on me. I've asked the Lord, Lord, I haven't had you drop something on me in a while. What can I do? Am I doing something wrong? But, you know, obviously I'm doing something wrong. Obviously I've got something going on. So I'm like, Lord, cleanse my heart. Cleanse me. Purge me. Evaluate me. Okay, get this out of me. Lord, I repent for every transgression, every inequity, every sin that I've ever committed. Those that knowingly and unknowing, Lord, purge me out and come through me. See me, transparent me, Lord, and blot out, Lord, every one of those things that I have on record. Because, Lord, I need to be in a position to hear and listen to your command. Go ahead, Jack. You're on the air.
I love your heart, everybody. You're right on. It's great. So I'm going to throw you a little curve. Which hasn't quite happened yet, now that we've staked and reclaimed all this, now what do we do? Now what do we do? Okay, how do we get that courthouse that we staked to render judgment? We have to get involved personally at each level. So that's the next step, right?
That's right. Mary Beth, did you want something again, hon? Say hand up. If not, keep moving. Thank you. All right. Hallelujah. There's one other thing I was watching. I know that many of you don't watch football anymore. But some of you said you didn't, but you still are. All right. But there was a guy I just was reading here on a site, Jared Allen, who was a defensive end for a long time. I'm just going to tell you what he said rather than playing the thing. I guess we could play it. I didn't send it to Spence. Spence, can you go on Steve Quayle's site and down there it has two most important decisions you'll make in life. This is what Jared Allen. I haven't previewed this. I just saw it here and I was like, man, friends, listen. The amount of people, these high profile, quote unquote, high profile people that are coming out and professing Christ is unprecedented at this time. They're coming up that some of these guys that come on Sean Ryan show, these like Navy SEALs, all these guys, I mean, these tough guys, they're crying. They're feeling it. They're not crying like babies, but you know how they're so overwhelmed by the Holy Spirit. That's the one I showed us. Go ahead and play that right quick. I don't know. I'm sorry. I didn't hear you, buddy. Oh, okay. Two most important decisions you'll make in life. Two most important decisions. It's on X. Yeah.
I'm reminded of what Tom Lanfear said when we were going through our premarital counseling. He said the two most important decisions you'll make in life is one, whether you follow Jesus or not, and two is who you marry. Because there's only two types of people. There's boat anchors who drag you down, and there's people who elevate you. And you are a true game elevator. You're one of the smartest people I know. I am in awe of you every single day, and I love you more than life itself. To my amazing daughters,
all right, that's good. Thank you. But understand that what he professing, what I try to do is turn it off. And okay, all right. But what he's doing there, he's professing Christ Jesus. Okay, he put it out there just kind of subtly. You know, some of these people will say, hey, look, God is good. Give glory to God. Well, God, what God? Okay. And this is what's important, that we are using the name Jesus. And if you think you're one of those that say, well, the letter J was never in there, is never intended to do it. Well, where do they get J in Jews? Where do they get J in Judea? Where do they get J in John? Where do they get J in James? Where does those J's come from? Hallelujah. Also, I want you to go on to Amazon today and buy Donald Davidson's book, Pursuit of Happiness. Get it, read it, understand it. Hallelujah. See you tomorrow. Have a good day.